We would like to be honest and transparent.
But it's easy to be cheap. It's maybe not so easy to have happy customers.
You should know what you're paying for. There shouldn't be any extra fees or unnecessary fees.
Smart investors are putting money into new airlines at this time.
We're popping up new airlines almost every day or every second day during this pandemic.
It's the perfect time.
She is about to take off.
She is a former handball player, crew planner, and project coordinator. She is about to test all of those skills, and I would dare to guess possibly a lot more. She is launching the newest airliner in Norway. First flights end of this month, June 2021, going on the 30th of June. She is the chief executive officer of Flyr. I didn't know how to pronounce it in English. Flyr. Tony Wikstrand Frisley, welcome to the Arctic Podcast Studio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been a busy few days for you. So please start right away. What did you do on Monday this week?
Really exciting. We had the pre-launch of the ticket sales.
So where are you selling tickets to and from in this starting soft launch, Tanya?
Well, we are having a safe start. So we're starting with domestic sales for July, and the start of, actually the first flight is on the 30th of June to Tromsø from Oslo. And so we're starting with the north of Norway and then expanding towards the end of July and August to south of Norway, but also then to Malaga, Alicante, and Nice.
Yeah, because I think the analyst at Arctic, Carl-Fredrik Bjerke, he was quite happy. He booked tickets to Nice, but that's not for this month. He was waiting for the vaccine, or he's waiting for it. Then that's August, is it, or
yes.
September?
For the moment, his tickets have started for Nice and Malaga Alicante from the 16th of August, and we are able to operate earlier, but we don't want to have to cancel any of the flights that we're selling to. So we starting with a safe start.
How many planes do you start with?
From the beginning of the summer, it's two aircrafts in
two
operation.
Aircrafts. Hmm. But you have raised enough cash, I think you said, up to 28, but that's then coming a bit gradually, I guess.
Yeah, that's the plan, to start up gradually and to do it slow if we have to. But then we're also, if we want to expand earlier, we are flexible, so we can expand the operation at an earlier point. But at the moment, it seems, or it's actually obvious due to the uncertainty in the market, to start with a slow start. And since our company is built on a flexible and efficient model, it's also possible for us to be profitable at the earlier stage than what's normal in this business.
Yeah, I think our analyst, Carl-Fredrik Bjerke, he says that he expects that you will start with 8 aircrafts in 2021. I guess that's towards the end of 2021, moving up to 20 planes then next year, 24 in 2023, and 28 in 2024. So you have decided on colors. You have painted a couple of planes. And
yeah.
It's a bit green, is it? A bit sort
it's
of
a really nice pastel color. Colors, blue
pastel
and green and peach, and now it's really fun to work on the plans and in the theory, and now seeing everything coming to life, both the aircrafts and with a nice livery. We think it's really beautiful aircrafts, and it will arrive in Oslo, the first aircraft, tomorrow.
Oh really?
Yeah. So we have a competition if you can spot and take a nice picture of the aircrafts coming in to Gardermoen, you can win plane tickets.
All right. Yes. Yeah, because there's not so many planes in the skies any longer, so people actually notice.
It should be possible to see it. Yeah.
And tell me, in terms of ticket prices, I think, again, referring to Carl-Fredrik Bjerke, he, funnily enough, told us that he bought tickets to Nice costing 616 crowns. And I'm not sure if he did this before or after, but he wrote in his research report that he was expecting average ticket prices of 600.
No.
So that's a funny coincidence.
Spot on.
But do you want to sort of comment a little bit, I guess, on positioning in terms of low cost, high cost, or I guess low cost versus full service, if you want to comment a little bit on your positioning there?
Yeah, well, we're going to have competitive prices or reasonable prices. We know that we have a more efficient and cost-efficient model than our competitors. So we also are able to offer decent prices. It's easy to have the lowest prices, and that's not what we're aiming for. We are aiming for a substantial model that offers prices you can afford, but also cover our costs.
Okay, so Tanya, I looked at on your sort of limited pre-sale there on Oslo Tromsø on the 30th of June, and I see with great interest that you have two options. You have a cheap ticket starting at 363 crowns, and you have a more expensive ticket starting at 861 crowns. There are competition. There is a cheaper option. I think it's 288 crowns. And there are certainly more expensive ticket options also. So if I'm looking to go to Tromsø on the 30th of June, Tony, why do I choose Flyr?
Well, we offer a good product at a reasonable price. You have different products to choose from, and we aim to be very transparent in our communication so that we have no hidden fees, and mainly we would like to have the customer in focus and offer a smooth travel.
You said earlier it's easy to be cheapest, I think you said.
It is easy to be cheapest, but we want to be a responsible airline as well, and we would like to take care of our customers. We have the possibility now, due to the efficient organization and modern systems, to actually use our time to focus on the customers when they travel with Flyr. We have new technology, so we will have a paperless journey, and soon we will also release the new app, which will help you to have a more easy and seamless air travel. We're also offering flights at times of day where the customer actually wants to fly. It's not necessary for Flyr, due to our model, to utilize the aircraft in the same way as the legacy carriers. So that's why we can offer times where you don't have to get up in the middle of the night
I think Mr. Bolton was had a good point about that. That you know, sometimes it's been a little bit inhuman to take that 4:30 airport express train to Gardermoen to catch the first plane, just because maybe someone needs to have that plane in the air in 20 hours per day. And then I guess also it's easy. You say it was nice that you said it's easy to be cheap. It's maybe not so easy to have happy customers.
Yeah, and we're focusing on that. And that's also why we have the customer service department located in Norway, in Oslo, to be close to the customer and being able to handle any issues that would arise. And also, we would like to be honest and transparent. You should know what you're paying for. There shouldn't be any extra fees or unnecessary fees. A bag is a bag. If you want to travel with a suitcase, a bicycle, or a golf bag, it doesn't cost any more, so you shouldn't pay anything more. If you have overweight on your luggage, 1 kilo, you shouldn't pay for 40 more kilos. You should pay for the extra kilos. So,
I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, actually, impressive number. More than 90 new airlines are launching in 2021. Wall Street Journal says it's the perfect time. And I guess you touched upon it a little bit, so you don't have the legacy issues, you don't have to cut the costs and have all the unhappy employees, etc. You're starting from scratch. I can also mention, since this is the Arctic podcast, that of course Arctic was proud to assist Flyr in raising 600 million crowns in February. And we also raised money for Norse Atlantic on the 21st of March 2021. That was 1.4 billion. So we are seeing some quite impressive clients of Arctic that are signing up, all in the public domain, of course. Cornerstone investors for your new issue, Tony, was Nordea with 60 million, Spitalen, Cisne, Fredly on the Norse Atlantic, which is the other airline, or the new airline that we did. We had Cornerstone investments from Delphi Storebom, DNB Asset Management, Nordea again, Skagen, Andenes. Why do you think so many entrepreneurs are starting new airlines, and why do you think so many smart investors are putting money into new airlines at this time?
Well, first of all, it's not easy to start a new airline. Normally, it's really expensive. The aircraft itself is
it's a capital intensive industry.
Really,
yes.
Yeah. Oh. And also, it's you need a specific type of competence because it's a rather complex industry and it's also highly regulated. So you need specific competence and experience, and that's not easy to get a hold of in a normal situation. And then when the pandemic arrived, it opened up a totally new market. You were able to get both cheaper aircrafts and also the right type of resources you needed. So that's one start. And also, I think it's not right to compare with the market before COVID and also during COVID. This will totally change the situation before the pandemic and during and after. You will see less business travel and the legacy operators, they are dependent on high frequency flights and they're not rigged for small scale operation. So it will be extremely challenging for them to be able to operate or be profitable, because doing the necessary structural changes in the legacy operators, it's you can get rid of debt, that's one thing, but doing really the technological changes that's necessary, but also the organizational and structural changes, it's really hard. So this is a unique possibility to start from scratch with new technology, right-sized organization, and efficient structure. That's a major advantage.
But the most important thing must be the costs have come down so much on the planes. Isn't that the number one winning? No.
It is one element, but also the existing operators can also negotiate new prices.
So that's maybe not so big.
We can do that for the whole fleet. That's not possible for legacy. But I'm not sure if everyone understands that it is really complex. There are so many different areas that needs to fit seamless together. Many areas of unique expertise that needs to fit together seamlessly to have a both safe and good operation. And the capacity now of being able to get a hold of that type of competence and also being able to start building from scratch with the whole new technology, no legacy operator is able to do that. So this will be a totally new ballgame.
I see the argument very much. It's like, if you start something new versus obviously trying to change something that has been going through a pandemic, it must be terrible. But then my point that I was trying to interrupt there, sorry for that, Tonya, was that course, that the analyst was highlighting that the five-year-old Boeing 737-800 fairly standard plane that you are going to operate, he estimates a monthly leasing cost of $175,000, and he estimates that that was $350,000 when it was new, and it was $280,000 January 2020, i.e. the month before the pandemic. So obviously, it's been a lot less capital intensive, so a lot cheaper to start a new airline.
Definitely. One major point, absolutely. But it's not the only one. There are so many elements that's that makes this extremely an extreme advantage for new companies. And you see that all over the world. They're popping up new airlines almost every day or every second day during this pandemic. And so we're not the only one. There are not that many. There are only, even in Little Norway, there are two new airlines. You haven't seen that before. And so I said, you can't compare with the market before the pandemic and what's going to be after. And none of the, or at least extremely few of the operators who operate before the pandemic are rigged for the situation after the pandemic.
So you said that you didn't really want to comment upon competitors in specific, but Wizz Air is no longer a competitor. So did you open a bottle of champagne? Or how did you feel when Wizz Air said that they were not going to compete on the Norwegian domestic market? So I think that was also this week, or maybe it was last weekend.
For our part, we've been really confident on our model and know that we are competitive and will be able to, as long as we can compete on equal conditions in the market, we know that we have a place in the future of aviation in Norway. So for us, it's, yeah, it will be competition. Probably there will come a new competitor and we'll be able to handle that as well, because we are definitely rigged for the future of aviation with our extremely low cost compared to the existing operators.
We need to talk a little bit about the history, because this company that you were the CEO was started by Mr. Erik Bråten. When did you first meet him? Did you know him from back in the days, or?
No, I started in the aviation after he quit the aviation. So I haven't met him before where I started in, or I was asked to join Flyr.
I will read a little quote that I found interesting. It's in Kapital, which is a Norwegian bi-weekly business magazine. And this is from his brother, Per Bråten, says that he, in the age of 65, can be bothered to start an airline. I don't get it. He succeeded with what he did earlier. He had a good life. It's going to be a lot of work to own an airliner. You are smiling, but do you want to comment on his brother's comment?
It is a lot of work, but it's definitely fun. And we have so much faith in our model. And we know that this is a model for the future of aviation. And yeah, I never thought actually I was going to return to the industry, because although it's a lot of energy, a lot of fun, I've learned a lot during the years being in the industry, but still it's due to the complexity and the regulations that has to be there. It's also a very traditional industry, and you being able to do the changes that's necessary is either extremely challenging or not possible at all, or really expensive, which also makes it not possible due to the high competition there. But when this opportunity arose, and like I said, it's a fantastic, fun industry to be in, but then also the possibility to build something totally fresh that's suited for the situation after COVID. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure if you understand how much of an advantage that is. So it's just, yeah.
No, I'm quite sure that I'm about to learn more, but I can also say then on behalf of my colleagues here at Arctic that we have a lot of people coming in to our offices. We obviously combine people with capital and people with ideas, and we have, you know, a couple of hundred employees, and you know, at least ex-COVID, we have a lot of people in our offices. But Mr. Bråten, very gentleman, very fond memories. I think everyone, you know, from my dear colleagues in the reception to the research and corporate finance staff was very much impressed, particularly when he sent flowers thanking us for our hard work afterwards. I think we sent him a bill and he sent flowers back, so you can take that back to the office as a thank you from Arctic to Mr. Bråten.
That's good. And I couldn't agree more. He's extremely nice person. He's smart and clever, and he had a brilliant idea with this company. But also, as you said, he's genuinely nice. So it's a real pleasure to work with for him.
Now that I've been so nice, I'm going to have to ask. There was a funny comment in Dagens Næringsliv. They sometimes write funny stuff. When Mr. Bråten announced the airline the first time, there was not a picture of you. It was a picture of a lot of men, and Dagens Næringsliv said "Air Dressmann." And what did you think when you read that article?
First of all, it was a surprise to me that they were starting the airline, and but I thought it was really cool. I know these guys well, and
thought they had cool suits.
mainly because I like the industry, and I know these guys have the best aviation competence and experience. And if anyone was going to succeed starting a new airline, it was them. And I also think the picture was fantastic. And I can comment on one of the members of the team, which I hadn't been in contact with for 3 or 4 years. He sent me an SMS shortly after the press release, And I started with, hi, this is Brede from Boys Voice Air. I saved the contact details with Boys Voice. And each time he calls me or send a text from Boys Voice Air, it makes me smile every time.
Fantastic. So we're going to end a little bit on some quick questions from me and quick comments from you, starting with if you had to pick, sort of looking at your CV, you've been at Norwegian Air, you've been at Citibank, you've been at Core. What was the best, most fun place to work?
Well, I love the aviation industry. So
that's a good answer. That's
definitely
fun. And then I read with great interest another interview you gave where you said that you went to Sydney to take a master's degree and it was a lot of fun and games. Do you want to elaborate on that?
well, it was more fun than studying, actually. It was some studying, but more trying to or pretending to be surfing, playing beach volley. I actually lived at Manly Beach outside Sydney.
It was a nice place.
And it has I like that quote, it has a sign on the wharf there which states 7 miles from Sydney and 1,000 miles from Cairn. And I think that actually says the whole thing about the place. And Manly is just totally relaxing, fun.
Is Sydney the best
years of my life?
Is that the best place you ever lived? Did you live in Barcelona when you...
No, you
commuted to Barcelona.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you had to choose between Sydney, Barcelona and Oslo?
Well, I really patriotic regarding Norway, so I've always lived here, but I wouldn't be without this year in Sydney, especially Manly.
Best airline you ever been on a plane with, and obviously I guess you haven't been on your own plane yet, so it has to be someone else's.
Well, tomorrow it will be the best when the flight arrives tomorrow, so that will be the best. I'm so excited. We're so looking forward to it. We can't wait. I almost want to go and stay at a hotel at Gardermoen this evening just to be ready when it arrives.
What's the first place, if you could choose in the whole world, what's the first place you would fly to post-COVID?
Of course, one of our destinations.
Tromsø or Malaga?
Tromsø, we're going there. That's the first flight.
You're going on that flight.
I know. I love Nice and particularly the area around Malaga. I love Tarifa. So either to Nice and go to Chuan-les-Pins, where I spent a lot of time with my family previously, or Tarifa outside of Malaga.
What do you think was the best part? Sort of jokingly saying best, but what was the best part about the COVID crisis? What did we learn in terms of maybe not going to work when we had a sneeze?
Well, that's one good thing. No one has a cold anymore, but... I think it was last year when everything stopped and we all were sent to the home office. Every afternoon activities for the children suddenly stopped. I remember my husband and I, we were asking ourselves what we're going to do on a normal weekday afternoon. And I can't ever remember ask myself that type of question. So
we had a lot of time because schools were shut.
Yeah, that was nice, being able to slow down things and use more time together. Even though we're ready for things to normalize now, I hope we'll be able to maintain some type of lower activity level. Probably will be very difficult, but at least I know that I appreciate it. Some time off.
Thank you very much, Tonje Vekstrøm Frisli, for spreading your energy and talk about Flyr in the Arctic podcast. We're back next week with another exciting guest. Thank you, Tonje.
Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.